Chapter 64. Gabrielle Ashe was at a full jog when she entered the third-floor production room of ABC News. Even so, she was moving slower than everyone else in the room. The intensity in production was at a fever pitch 24 hours a day, but at the moment the cubicle grid in front of her looked like the stock exchange on speed. Wild-eyed editors screamed to one another over the tops of their compartments. Fax-waving reporters darted from cubicle to cubicle comparing notes, and frantic interns inhaled Snickers and Mountain Dew between errands. Gabrielle had come to ABC to see Yolanda Cole. Usually, Yolanda could be found in production's high-rent district, the glass-walled private offices reserved for the decision-makers who actually required some quiet to think. Tonight, however, Yolanda was out on the floor, in the thick of it. When she saw Gabrielle, she let out her usual shriek of exuberance. Gabs! Yolanda was wearing a batik body wrap and tortoiseshell glasses. As always, several pounds of garish costume jewelry were draped off her like tinsel. Yolanda waddled over, waving. Harg! Yolanda Cole had been a content editor with ABC News in Washington for 16 years. A freckle-faced Pole, Yolanda was a squat, balding woman, whom everyone affectionately called Mother. Her matronly presence and good humor disguised a street-savvy ruthlessness for getting the story. Gabrielle had met Yolanda at a woman in politics mentoring seminar she'd attended shortly after her arrival in Washington. They'd chatted about Gabrielle's background, the challenges of being a woman in D.C., and finally about Elvis Presley, a passion they were surprised to discover they shared. Yolanda had taken Gabrielle under her wing and helped her make connections. Gabrielle still stopped by every month or so to say hello. Gabrielle gave her a big hug, Yolanda's enthusiasm already lifting her spirits. Yolanda stepped back and looked Gabrielle over. "You look like you aged 100 years, girl. What happened to you?" Gabrielle lowered her voice. "I'm in trouble, Yolanda." "That's not the word on the street. Sounds like your man is on the rise. Is there someplace we can talk in private?" "Bad timing, honey. The president is holding a press conference in about half an hour, and we still haven't a clue what it's all about. I gotta line up expert commentary, and I'm flying blind." "I know what the press conference is about." Yolanda lowered her glasses, looking skeptical. "Gabrielle, our correspondent inside the White House is in the dark on this one. You say Sexton's campaign has advanced knowledge?" "No, I'm saying I have advanced knowledge. Give me 5 minutes, I'll tell you everything." Yolanda glanced down at the red White House envelope in Gabrielle's hand. "That's a White House internal. Where'd you get that?" "In a private meeting with Marjorie Tench this afternoon." Yolanda stared a long moment. "Follow me." Inside the privacy of Yolanda's glass-walled cubicle, Gabrielle confided in her trusted friend, confessing to a one-night affair with Sexton and the fact that Tench had photographic evidence. Yolanda smiled broadly and shook her head, laughing. Apparently, she had been in Washington journalism so long that nothing shocked her. "Oh, Gabs, I had a hunch you and Sexton had probably hooked up." "Not surprising. He's got a reputation, and you're a pretty girl." "Too bad about the photos. I wouldn't worry about it, though."
"Don't worry about it."
Gabrielle explained that Tench had accused Sexton of taking illegal bribes from space companies, and that Gabrielle had just overheard a secret SFF meeting confirming that fact. Again, Yolanda's expression conveyed little surprise or concern, until Gabrielle told her what she was thinking of doing about it. Yolanda now looked troubled. "Gabrielle, if you want to hand over a legal document saying you slept with a U.S. senator and stood by while he lied about it, that's your business. But I'm telling you, it's a very bad move for you. You need to think long and hard about what it could mean for you."
"You're not listening. I don't have that kind of time."
"I am listening. And, sweetheart, whether or not the clock is ticking, there are certain things you just do not do. You do not sell out a U.S. senator in a sex scandal. It's suicide. I'm telling you, girl, if you take down a presidential candidate, you better get in your car and drive as far from D.C. as possible. You'll be a marked woman. A lot of people spend a lot of money to put candidates at the top. There's big finances and power at stake here. The kind of power people kill for.